been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It's the February 16th. It's the chilly edition. Now, we're pretty warm here in where we're at, South Carolina, but 1 degree in Dallas, where our show is produced. And I'm sure there's a lot of negative numbers. I'm sure all my friends in Minnesota are huddled up. Minneapolis right now in a record cold, which is having quite an impact on the market here. Natural gas prices, oil prices, crude oil. A lot of cross currents, commodity stocks moving here today quite a bit after a report by BHP. And the bond market selling off quite a bit. 1.26. That's the highest read we've had in a long time on that 10-year. So here's where we're at right now. We've got the Dow up 84 points, 31,544. Hopes for that $1.9 trillion continue to increase. We've got S&P up 9, 39.44. 4,000 is within sight here, just 56 points away. We're up 9 points there. The NASDAQ is up 46 right now, 14,141. Crude oil above 60 for the first time in a long time. Of course, you're not drilling right now there in Texas, I doubt it, or refining. Crude oil is up 62 cents right now to $60.09. I haven't said that for a while on oil. Gold down $34 per ounce. Silver down 24 cents per ounce. The 10-year, 1.26. We have not seen that in a long time as interest rates continue to trickle upwards. And Bitcoin was above 50,000. It's now backed off. It's at 49,328. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio show with Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. A lot of cross currents taking place in the market today, whether it's the stimulus package of $1.9 trillion. Supposedly there's a $2 trillion package right behind this one about infrastructure and climate change. But we got to get the money printed for this one first, I guess. We've got new highs across the board in the market. We've got new lows in Dallas, Minnesota, Oklahoma. Oh, man, that's extraordinarily frosty temperatures in on February the 16th. We've got Bitcoin that was over 50,000 for a while here this morning. We've got a bit of a valuation problem which continues in the market. That's eventually going to, you know, the chickens will come home to roost there, and, you know, it's going to be hard for the market to advance, continue to advance because of these valuation issues right now. But having said that, it is a market of stocks, and we're going to talk about many here today. Well, gee, it's been 3 days. I forget where we closed out last week. Oh, we had a pretty good week last week. We were up a little bit. We saw a lot of new highs in the market, mostly on the advancement of the stimulus deal. We're starting off this week on the right foot. We've got quite a bit going on here today. We've got some mergers, we've got some earnings, we've got vaccines being rolled out, and of course the deep freeze. European shares higher on recovery optimism. Well, we're getting that vaccine out as quickly as possible, trying to open back up businesses. Hong Kong was up 1.9% overnight. Japan up 1.3%. China has their new year going on right now. The Chinese market closed yesterday. You've got a deepening energy crisis. I know a lot of people are without power, large swaths of the U.S., resulting in rolling blackouts for at least 5 million people from the upper Midwest clear down to Houston to avoid a total collapse of their grids. More than a million barrels a day of oil and 10 billion cubic feet of gas production have also gone offline, sending U.S. crude prices above $60 per barrel for the first time in more than a year. Natural gas prices are soaring. They're up 6% today. Pipelines have also declared force majeure, while massive refineries owned by Exxon and Marathon have halted production, threatening to reduce supplies of gasoline and diesel is across the country. Now, the energy crisis is not the only problem. With the frigid weather expected to remain through Wednesday, all air travel in and out of Houston shut down. COVID vaccination efforts face potential disruption. Oh, yeah, for sure. But at least they won't need the freezers to keep it below zero, will they? They can just put it in the trunk of the car, with city officials racing to administer doses before they go bad. That's another problem. They don't have a long shelf life. The National Guard mobilized to get the elderly into warming shelters, while the power disruption spilled over into neighboring Mexico. How about that? I mean, this thing kind of came out of nowhere. I know that our family there in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, they lost their power and were without for a while. Luckily, they have a wood-burning fireplace. You know, this is a good time. I've always said it. You know, I'm a big advocate for emergency preparedness. It's good to have a generator. It's good to have firewood. It's good to have backup power. It's good to have flashlights. It's good to have a supply of food on hand in the house. This is a good time to take stock of how you are doing and how well prepared you were for what has come along here in the U.S. Well, interest rates, that's an interesting story to watch. I've noticed the inverse bond fund, it's 2-1 against the the long treasury, 20-year plus. That thing's breaking out right now. It's TBT. It's an ETF corresponding to twice the inverse performance of the Barclays 20-year plus U.S. Treasury index. It's up another 2.13%. I showed that in my newsletter over the weekend. I showed the uptrend that it's been in here for quite some time, which means interest rates are also in a rising uptrend. Bond funds are just not a good place to be right now at all. But individual bonds, as I've always said, I mean, our plan is to hold our bonds to maturity, so we're seeing very little fluctuation in our bond portfolios. But if you have bond funds, mutual funds or ETFs, I'm just looking at the chart of the AGG here, which is an aggregate bond fund. That's a horrible chart. It's breaking support. That is a horrible, horrible chart. Looks to me like interest rates headed higher, which has a lot of there's a lot of people impacted by interest rates. We've had this big run in real estate prices and refinancing, and talk about a big chill that might be coming to the real estate industry. 1.26, yes, is still relatively low, but compared to where we were at, we've seen a pretty big rise here in interest rates, and that could chill mortgage refis, new home sales, etc. So interest rates definitely a key indicator that I keep my eye on because of the impact, the collateral damage it does to certain sectors of the market. And, of course, it's very bullish For the commodity sector, a company today, BHP out of Australia, one of the largest mining companies in the world, they knocked the ball out of the park with their earnings as iron ore prices, copper prices, etc. That's the other side of the street. Okay, I always talk about this concept. If you go back a year ago today when COVID was just starting to really take effect on the U.S. economy, the right side of the street were, names like DocuSign and Zoom Video and et cetera. The bad side of the street were the restaurants and the cruise ships and the airlines, et cetera. Well, the same is true of rising interest rate environment. There's a wrong side of the street to be on, and there's a good side of the street. That's why I believe in active management. And not this passive garbage that they're trying to pawn off on the public. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. Well, you got the Dow up 98 right now, 31,556. You've got the NASDAQ coming back to earth, though. It's up just 31 points right now. Well, here's another impact of rising interest rates. If you look at the P.E. ratio right now, the S&P 500. If we look at the last trailing four quarters, the S&P's P.E. ratio right now is 27.6. Now, I've seen it at 30 before. That was back in 2000. That was before the market got smashed over the next couple of years. 27.6 is a very lofty P.E. ratio. And the fact that interest rates are now starting to rise, I would think at some point that it's definitely going to put a lid on the P.E. ratio from expanding like it has. And eventually it's going to start reining in that P.E. ratio. The forward P.E. ratio, if we look over the next four quarters of the S&P 500 right now, is 22.6. What's the long-term average? Where does 22.6 fit in overall historically? Well, the long-term average is in the 16 to 18 range. It's gone to 22.6 because of the Fed's unprecedented keeping interest rates artificially low here. All of the balance sheet. Expansion of their balance sheet, buying back of bonds, etc. So if we look at next year's earnings, I'm not talking 2021 this year, I'm talking 2022, the consensus estimate right now is about $200 per share. Let's just call it an even $200 per share. What kind of multiple are we going to put on those $200 per share in earnings, if indeed we do achieve that? That's the consensus estimate. The market is trading on that right now. Well, if the S&P could continue to maintain a forward PE of 22.6, you can say, well, I could see 4,500 on the S&P next year. Okay, well, that's best case scenario, I would say. That means that your PE ratio has to maintain this really bloated number that it's at right now. If the PE were to start coming back as interest rates rise to a more reasonable level, let's just say it went to 20, then you've got a $4,000 price target, and you've got an S&P right now that's at 3,941. So obviously the risk to reward in the overall market, I certainly would not own an index fund on the S&P 500. You've got to really be a stock picker. I know I'm tooting my own horn here right now, but, you know, I give example after example of companies here on the show that are still trading at peg ratios around 1, a little over 1, and still make sense from a valuation proposition. But looking at the overall market right now, S&P 500 index funds, the same could be said of the QQQ. The same could be said of the mid-cap 400 index funds, the small-cap S&P 600 index funds. The indexes are about as full as you're going to get, like a buffet in Myrtle Beach, you know, one of these calabash buffets in Myrtle Beach. That's about where the forward PE and the PE of the market is right now. So we got to be really concerned about that, and we have to be really careful right now with valuations. Now, at the other extreme, you've got these speculators, these Reddit people and other speculators buying cannabis stocks and other stocks that are trading Bitcoin miners and whatnot that are trading at multiples that are absolutely insane. You know, they ran GameStop up to $480 per share or something like that, and it's worth about $20 per share. So valuation is really critical right now. To me, that's the most important fact you can know about a stock at any given time is what it's worth. That puts things in perspective. That helps you make buy, hold, and sell decisions. And that's one point that the beststocksnowapp.com can really help you out with there, are five-year valuations based on earnings. Now, I had somebody write me about a website called Wallet Investor, I want to say it was. They're basing their five-year target prices on the trajectory of the chart. Oh, man. That is, if you're using that as your basis to, it's going at this direction. If it continues going in that direction, in 5 years it'll be here. That has no basis in fact or true valuation whatsoever. So anyways, I think there's a lot of folks out there without any clue of valuation. History repeats itself all over again, time and time again. This was the problem back in the year 2000 when valuation went out the window. And you had a lot of these charlatans out there, analysts and whatnot, Wall Street analysts saying, well, valuation doesn't matter anymore. We're in a new paradigm. No, valuation always matters. It always will. And if we do get a valuation bubble, guess what? It's always going to pop, always, and it's going to come back to valuation. So be very aware of valuations right now on your individual stocks. And, you know, some of these ETFs, these ARK ETFs, I can't even imagine what their overall PE ratio was. I'm sure you can look it up and see, but they got to be enormous, enormous forward PE ratios. But as always, as I always say, it is a market of stocks. We have several really good performers today, and I would say they're still reasonably valued. All right, Bitcoin mania continues. That's another area that's a little bit worrisome, the speculation taking place here. Bitcoin was over 50,000 today following Bank of New York Mellon's announced entry into Bitcoin. J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, all have their own plans to invest in the crypto world. How soon will it be before we have a global cryptocurrency and paper dollars go the way of the world? I don't know. That seems to be the direction that we are headed in. And in the meantime, anytime a little company says, here's one today, WBAI, I followed that for a while. It's a little Chinese stock. But that's all they do is they announce that, hey, we're buying they're buying the mining operations of Bitdeer Technologies. Bitdeer. Not John Deere, Bitdeer. And the stock is up, soaring 49% on the news. That's the kind of market we're in right now. Tread carefully. Pay close attention to valuation. Well, I'll give you some examples of what I like when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, here's something to remember about valuations, all right? You could say, well, I'm just going to buy stocks that have low P.E. ratios, low price-to-book value ratios, low price-to-sales ratios. Well, you know what? There's a lot more to it than just that. A lot of these companies that have very low ratios aren't growing anymore. So they should have low ratios. I'm going to give an example here of a very cheap stock on the surface, but underneath I consider it to be a dog. All right? And then I'll show you the difference. I'll show you another low forward P.E. stock that is quite attractive right now. In fact, it's hitting new highs. The first one I'll use as an example here will be CVS Health. You would think CVS on the surface is a very cheap stock. It's got a P.E. ratio of 10. And remember, we said that the S&P right now is 27.6 price to earnings. That's today's price divided by the last four quarters of earnings, okay? CVS has currently got a P.E. ratio of 10. Well, there's a good example of a value stock, right? Well, for the pure value investor, that might be true. But as you know, my Best Stocks Now system takes into account valuation and momentum. And those five-year target prices become very important. I like to buy stocks that have 80% or more upside potential over the next 5 years. And that's one thing. Where possible, the beststocksnowapp.com, I have the calculations in there that shows you what the stock could be worth 5 years from now if they can meet the earnings targets, the consensus estimates, and maintain the growth rates. And then I put in a multiple that I think is correct for that stock and put out their five-year target prices. Okay, so back to CVS, which I want to say is a member of the Dow. CVS also owns Aetna. They bought them a couple of years ago. CVS is a $94 billion company. Oh, they have a dividend yield of 2.7%, okay? Now, trading at a P.E. ratio of 10. The problem with CVS is they're expected to make about $8 per share next year. The problem with CVS is the growth rate. The consensus growth rate for CVS over the next 5 years is 6.3% per year. Well, if you add in another 2.7 from the dividend, you could say to yourself, gee, I could make 9% per year over the next 5 years if CVS continues to grow by 6.3% and pays a 2.7%. Well, the problem is no, because a lot of that, what growth they do have is already priced into the stock. When I do a five-year valuation on CVS, I get a target price of $99 per share. The stock is currently trading at $71 per share. That's very skinny upside potential. The other income that you have on that is, of course, the dividend at 2.7%. So that gives you a total return potential over the next 5 years of just 47.6%. I want 80% or more It gets a value grade of F, even though most people would say it's a value stock. And then when you go to the performance and momentum side of the equation, it's been a horrible performer. Over the last 12 months, the stock's up 2%, while the market's up 17%. And, you know, they've benefited, I would think, from this COVID. They should have. I don't think they were one of the stores that was closed. They also have drugs, they have vaccines, et cetera, testing. But it's been a horrible performer. It has a momentum grade of C, a performance grade of D. It's ranked number 4,100 out of 5,633. So on the surface, you would say, gee, a PE of 10, that's a value stock. No, do the rest of the work on the stock, and it falls flat on its face. Now, let's do another one. Is it about the same size? Let's see. We're going to do Freeport-McMoRan. Some people are saying copper is the new gold. I don't know about that. Copper pennies don't seem to sell as much as gold coins. But Freeport-McMoRan is trading at a new all-time high. Now, Freeport is currently trading at $33 per share. The forward PE of Freeport-McMoRan right now is 11.9. So it's trading down in that range that CVS is trading at. But here's the difference. Freeport is expected to grow by 18% per year over the next 5 years. That's their earnings growth. So if you take that current earnings estimate of $2.60 and you grow it over the next 5 years, compounded at 18% per year, you come up with a potential earnings 5 years from now, and you apply a multiple to that, I get 100% upside potential on Freeport-McMoRan. In addition to this, the stock has some momentum going on. Well, yeah. Over the last 12 months, Freeport's up 145%, while the market's up 17%. Freeport has a performance grade of B+. What was CVS was like a D or something like that. So it has a value grade of A, a performance grade of B+. Freeport rose all the way up to number 105 rank overall 3 months ago. It 2 months ago, it was number 162. 1 week ago, it was number 146. It's dropped a little in rank here recently because it was it had a soft week. But I bought it a few months back or 6 weeks back, something like that, in my dividend and growth portfolio. It also pays a dividend yield of 0.6%. But there's a good example of not taking the bigger dividend yield, because a lot of these companies that are paying big dividend yields have paltry growth. They have to offer a bigger dividend yield to keep people interested in the stock. Whereas Freeport-McMoRan has growth going for it, and it pays a smaller dividend. But when you combine those two, total return, pretty good. Now, their most recent quarter that Freeport reported, their sales were up 15%, and their earnings were up, 39 cents versus 2 cents. What is that, 1,800%, something like that? So there's a tale of two so-called value stocks. One is superb, and the other one is horrible. Take your pick. Okay, Janet Yellen steps up climate efforts with new czar at the Treasury. Well, climate change poses a risk, according to Janet Yellen, to our financial system. So she's going to have a czar in the financial system that keeps an eye on climate change risk. They're also preparing a $2 trillion infrastructure proposal. That's on top of the $1.9 that's being floated out there already, which would double as an aggressive effort to combat climate change. Okay. Tata Motors taking Jaguar, all electric, and I guess Range Rover and Land Rover eventually, they're talking about 2039. More and more competition coming in against Mr. Musk and his Tesla business. How many companies now? GM said they're going all electric. Volvo is going all electric. Europe is going all electric. And now you got Tata Motors getting on the electrification parade. Green Power Motor, GP, that's out of the UK. Why is it buzzing today? Company's new deal with Berkshire Hathaway Company, Forest River. Well, anytime Warren gets involved in a company, especially a green power company, that's got GP all abuzz today. Actually, it's down 2.4%. I guess they're not impressed. They were. Futures, it was way up in the pre-market. But anyways, Warren Buffett making a little investment there in EVs. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna go. Do it. Do whatever you wanna do. You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show, with the Dow up 67, NASDAQ up 42. We've tempered the gains just a little bit, but it seems like every time we get a little bit of a pullback here, we see the buyers come in. So we'll see. We are we at 14,000 on the NASDAQ? Yeah, 14,136. It's at 41. But we do have an expensive market. Now, let's not forget, I mean, technical analysis gives us ceilings and resistance levels. But let's not forget that valuations should. Now, they didn't back in 2000. We blew right through valuation levels in the year 2000 that we'd never seen before. And, of course, the chickens that came home to roost was the sell-off in the NASDAQ of 80% over the next several years, from 2000 to 2002, 2003. That's why you have to pay attention to valuations. Okay, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to make our featured stock of the day today our largest holding at the firm here. Gunderson Capital Management. It's a market of stocks. And the beststocksnowapp.com helps point me, helps, you know, it helps ferret out those stocks that meet my criteria of having 80% or more upside potential and some momentum, some wind at their back. That's very, very important. I've seen a lot of value traps over the years. They're sitting there at a 10 PE with no wind whatsoever for years. What makes you think it's all of a sudden going to wake up and start moving? That's where growth comes in. You need to have growth. Well, one that fits all my criteria at the current time, and it has grown to be, when we bought it, it certainly wasn't our largest position. But since we bought it, it's done quite nicely. Let me just take a look here and see if I can tell how much it's up since our initial purchase. And we have owned this stock a few times over the years. Right now we're up 136%. We bought it about a year ago, 11 months ago. We got back into it during the COVID sell-off. We took advantage of that to get back into JD.com. It's one of the Chinese stocks that we hold, but it's a large, very large cap Chinese stock. It's $160 billion in market capitalization. Over the last 5 years, they've been growing by 83% per year. I mean, CVS, single-digit growth. JD.com, 83% per year. Now, you're going to get a higher multiple on a stock like that. You're going to pay more for a stock like that. The reason a stock is trading at a P.E. ratio of 10 most times is because it's not growing. It's just sitting there. It's a sailboat without any wind. And you don't really want to be sitting there putting money at risk in a sailboat with no wind. JD is, I want to say, yeah, I'm right. It's hitting a new all-time high today. I never get tired of saying that, hitting a new all-time high. And I hear people tell me, why do you buy stocks that are hitting new all-time highs? Well, it's been hitting new all-time highs since 2014 when it went public at $16 per share. Am I supposed to avoid stocks that are hitting new highs? That's where the valuation comes in. The valuation is critical. So let's take a look at JD.com, which is currently trading at a forward PE of 43. But the growth rate going forward is expected to be 30% per year. So it's slowing down from 83% to 30%. It's $160 billion in market cap. You're not going to find a lot of 30% growers in that mega cap arena. But JD.com is an example. Now, if we take JD.com's earnings expectations of $2.25 next year and grow those by 30% per year, which is the consensus analyst estimate, and apply a multiple that I think is proper, quite proper, I get a $198 target price on JD. It's hitting $104 today. So it meets my valuation criteria, and in addition to that, it's got a lot of wind in its sails. It has a momentum grade of A right now. It's up 135% over the last 12 months, while the market's up 16.8. That's the S&P 500. No guarantees going forward. JD is currently ranked number 199 out of 5,633. 199 out of 5,633. We'll make that our featured stock of the day. And you can go, we have an article on JD.com if you want to know a little bit more about what they do and what their prospects are and who they work with, etc. They do some work with Walmart. You can go to Seeking Alpha to see our article. Okay, well, we're all out of time. I can't believe it. It went fast. We'll be back tomorrow at this time. In the meantime, if you'd like to talk to one of my advisors about putting together a Best Stocks Now portfolio for you and having it managed by me and my assistants, you can give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. If first you want to see, well, how does this whole strategy work? Well, you can look at our model portfolios in the newsletter. I publish them every week. I offer 2 weeks free. Anybody who asks, you go to GundersonCapital.com. I send the full Monty newsletter. It has all the portfolios, all the buys and sells we made during the week. Each portfolio currently has anywhere from 18 to 23 stocks in it. Equally weighted. Some have become larger weightings because maybe they've doubled, like JD.com here. You can, again, go to GundersonCapital.com to sample the newsletter. And if you're just a dyed-in-the-wool do-it-yourselfer, I have a couple of subscription services. The ultimate one I have is the live trading, $89 per month, where I send out every time I make a buy or sell in any one of my portfolios. And first you can see how they've done so far before you decide you're even interested at all. Then if you say, man, this guy's done pretty good, you can also check me out on tipranks.com, Bill Gunderson, as to how I rank against all the other guys and gals out there doing what I do. Well, this has been fun. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.